live in studio with me, and I thank you for making it through the snow today, is Jim Mears, Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola, part of my Industry Chatter series. Nice to see you, Jim.
Glad to be here, Francis.
And you came in from Columbia for this with the weather like it is.
Just to see you.
That's really saying something.
Yeah.
It's great to have you. Motorola is a company that is experiencing some change in the next 3 weeks or so, and we'll talk about that throughout the show. Okay. But talk about the federal market for Motorola and what you do for agencies.
Sure. Our history in the federal market, Francis, as you probably know, goes back to the 1930s. We actually made the first handy-talkie for the United States Army, and really have had a rich history and tradition in serving the DOD and federal law enforcement really since the 1930s, and continue to innovate. It's certainly one of the key markets as we split our company into two different organizations. The federal market will have even a larger focus than it did as part of the bigger Motorola.
Mm-hmm. Agencies, I think, have a pretty good idea about what your company does for them. But what are some lines of business that you do as a company for the government that maybe an average person might not be aware of?
Yeah, and internally we actually talk about that. We've got, we kind of call it the Motorola You Do Know, which mm-hmm. is the handy talkie radios, the consoles, dispatch centers, wide area networks, and then kind of the Motorola our customers don't know. And we actually spend a lot of time messaging on that. We actually lead in enterprise mobile computing, things like handheld scanners/data capture devices, mm-hmm. Things for logisticians. We're working with the VA to do a better job of getting medical records, whether it be related to blood supply, whether it be a wounded soldier in the field. So really the whole mobile computing space, and then the backhaul to bring that information back wherever it's needed, is kind of the Motorola that you don't know. So really our focus primarily is on voice first right now, but then also on video and data. And you'll see a lot in the months to come related to data, especially in the 4G LTE arena, both in public safety, and I think the federal government will also leverage the investment that public safety is making, and then certainly do some things in partnership with public safety agencies to drive some of those capabilities that broadband will bring to first responders, mm-hmm. whether they be first responders here or soldiers in theater.
Yeah. What's the advantage that you think you have as a company being in the mobile, the electronic space and the mobile computing space ahead of just about everybody else? I mean, the boom that we've seen over the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. I think our advantage, number one, has been world-class engineering and innovation. We tend to lead in all our product categories, with the exception of wireless LAN. We're number three. Every other category and market we serve, we're number one. But also our rich history and tradition of service. We have a worldwide service organization, which, as we split into two different companies, advanced services will be a bigger play for us moving forward. We see that something that's relevant in our core, but then also tangential and allows us to grow and maybe grab some share in other areas.
We talked a little bit about the split, and you alluded to it. The Wall Street Journal reported November 30th that Motorola announced it's split into two separate companies, will become effective January 4th when the company will change its name to Motorola Solutions. The handset division will be called Motorola Mobility Holdings. Give me a little bit more background on what's happening.
Sure. Our CEO, Greg Brown, and Greg will be the CEO of the RemainCo, which is Motorola Solutions, Inc., and that'll be the piece of business that this federal government team, along with state and local enterprise, will be part of. Greg Brown will head that up. Greg, a few years ago, along with the board, developed a strategy, said, you know, to really unlock the value and have the focus on the businesses that both Motorola Solutions and then Motorola Mobility needs, we really need to be two different companies. And that's taken a couple of years worth of work. Now, we've continued to focus and stay in touch with our customers. You know, all the work hasn't been on that end, but internally a lot of work has been done on that. So Greg will run Motorola Solutions, Inc., and then Dr. Sanjay Jha, who came to Motorola from Qualcomm about a year and a half ago, will run Motorola Mobility. That'll be cell phones and cable set-top boxes. But the piece that focuses on the federal government, we're excited on my team, number one. I think my public safety partners and the guys that focus on enterprise are excited because now it'll allow us to take our return on investment and really focus it much tighter on things like the federal government, mm-hmm. either organically or possibly through acquisitions in yeah. places we want to serve.
Is this fair to characterize this as a split between the Motorola you know and the Motorola you don't know? Because it sounds like the company, one of the companies will be focused on the handset stuff and so on, and the other company will be focused on the things that the average consumer might not be as
yes,
aware of.
Certainly our CEO would tend to agree with that question. When he goes to Wall Street Quarterly for the last several years and he does his earnings calls, we hardly ever get to talk about the core of our business, which is mission-critical comms for mm-hmm. public safety, for federal government enterprise. They always want to know what's the latest Android, what's the latest smartphone, what's the latest ruggedized phone. So, you know, yeah, I think you, from a Wall Street perspective, you could probably say that, yeah, it's a Motorola you don't know and the Motorola that you do know. But internally, we've really spawned all the innovation out of this core team that will remain Motorola Solutions, Inc. The stock symbol will be MSI. The other one will be MMI. So,
all right, this is supposed to happen January 4th. When you wake up January 5th, what will be different and what will be the same about the way that you serve the federal customers that you have now?
Yeah, thank you for that opening. Really, I don't believe our customers, and that's really has been our mission, they shouldn't have seen the difference while we were going through this. Like I said, we continue to serve, we continue to innovate and take care of our customers. I think what you'll see longer term is you'll see the innovation maybe accelerate at a quicker clip, which is good for us, and I think it's good for the federal government as well. Again, you know, we've got just such a rich history, whether it was the first words from the moon back to Earth, that was Motorola transponder delivering those, delivering the message, or the first cellular phone call that took place. That was our technology. So we've got a lot of firsts, and I think being able to focus on this space that's near and dear to our heart and something we're very proud to serve is going to be good for the company and good for our customers.
Jim Mears is with me today on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. He's the Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola. And we'll talk more about innovation in government and how it manifests itself when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Dr. Brian Jacobs from Children's National Medical Center commented during the panel discussion titled Realizing the Promise of Health Information Exchange. Have we turned the corner?
So the key really is the culture change and the movement in that direction there. Both ACO and medical home thrive best in a data-rich environment, and that's why electronic health records and health information exchange are really such key, if not essential, elements to moving in that direction there.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com. Keyword Booz Allen. How health information exchange will facilitate individual mission priorities while advancing a common vision of a unified health system is a constant demand. Booz Allen Hamilton strategy and technology consultants provide diverse perspectives from across the health market to place core issues such as privacy, security, and trust in the right context to help you make informed decisions, make health information exchange possible, and improve the health and wellness of our nation. Count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Learn more at boozallen.com/expertvoices.
Are you a bookkeeper, accounting assistant, accounting technician, or budget assistant looking for career advancement? Apply today for the Graduate School's new Associate of Applied Science in Accounting degree. You'll be prepared for a career in budget analysis, for government accounting positions above the GS-5 level, and for IRS accounting positions. Apply today. Classes start January 24th. Call an enrollment advisor at 202-314-3643. That's 202-314-3643. Or go to graduateschool.edu.
If you're an IT professional looking to advance your career, it's anything but a game. Which is why UMBC is the only university in Maryland to offer graduate programs in human-centered computing, where students apply principles from human-computer interaction, behavioral sciences, and design. UMBC also offers graduate programs in information systems, including an online master's in IS. Get the credential that makes a difference and put some muscle back into your resume. Find out more at is.umbc.edu today.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Good news for the uninsured and the insured. U.S. Healthy People 2020 Network is now offering annual health physical to the public. Members receive comprehensive health assessments for hypertension, thyroid, kidney, osteoporosis, diabetes, cholesterol, heart screening, and more till the year 2020. Find out your risks for heart attack or stroke. Take the extra step you and your family need to stay healthy till 2020 and beyond. Call 301-386-2223 or visit ushealthypeople2020.org for details. Sponsored by Prevent First, a nonprofit health organization.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. The first data coming from the census in just days. Well, how did the 2010 count go? We'll get GAO's assessment. The Air Force blocking the New York Times. We'll find out if that will prevent WikiLeaks leaks. And you may be facing a two-year pay freeze. Will that precipitate a retirement tsunami? Details on a just-completed survey this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose and Industry Chatter today with Jim Mears, the Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola. And you were talking about innovation before the break and the goals that your company has to be able to innovate faster after this split. And we're going to post the link to the Wall Street Journal piece at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth along with the audio from our conversation later this afternoon, Jim, so people can understand exactly what your company will be doing at the beginning of next month. But as you talk about innovation, the government sometimes gets a bad rap, and some agencies more so than others, for being able to handle innovation and being able to keep up with it as the vendors like Motorola are able to produce it and get the agencies to understand what the benefit is of whatever it is that's developing. What are your observations about the capabilities of the various agencies? And I know they're all different, yeah. But overall.
Yeah. So a couple of things. Number one, I think inside federal government, you certainly have to give them a lot of credit over the last 10 years. As it relates to wireless communications and driving a standard. Is the standard perfect to date? No, but the fact that a standard is in place, vendors are manufacturing content to that standard so that they can, quite frankly, the federal government can buy gear from different vendors. We're certainly going to continue to compete aggressively to try to win as much business as we can. But number one, I think the federal government has done a good job of driving the industry to standards-based architecture, which is a huge leap. Because 10 years ago, Francis, if you bought a system from Motorola, you had to buy the rest of your gear from Motorola until you upgraded to another system.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same way if you bought it from one of our competitors.
Yeah.
That's not really the case anymore. And that standard continues to evolve. Aspirationally, it's certainly in the right direction. And the standard itself will continue to evolve. As new features, advanced technologies come out and make the standard better, companies will continue to push. And I think that is good for the customers. And good for the end users. The other thing I think you'll see the federal government do, along with state and local, is they'll continue to look for ways to leverage commercially available product and then maybe mission-centric that product as opposed to we have to invent everything here or write mm-hmm. every application here. You're already starting to see that, and I think with some of the budget concerns, that'll become even more prevalent in the federal government space. I think that positions Motorola uniquely because we've got a rich commercial portfolio. We've got the engineering and innovation to do things, whether it be an app for this or an app for that type of environment for two-way radios or ruggedized smartphones, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'll see, you'll certainly see innovation in that direction. We talked a little bit earlier about LTE and 4G providing broadband capability wirelessly, and it's very important not only on the domestic home front, but if you think of a soldier in theater, to be able to look around the corner and be able to capture what's around the corner, that video, and bring that back wirelessly, that's huge. And we're there. The technology's there. We have the devices. We have the backhaul. So that's exciting innovation for us moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Without getting too technical, because I wouldn't understand it if you told me, but what's the generational advantage of 4G over 3G?
Speed.
That's really it.
It's speed, and especially as it relates when you talk about incident scene management, if an event were to take place right outside your facility here and first responders showed up, or an event in theater, to look at HD video, full motion video, as opposed to bits and bytes and chunky type video where you really can't make an assessment of what's really going on the ground, that's a big improvement. It's like having remote eyes, if you will, mm-hmm. seeing everything.
It's
a fatter pipe, delivers better speed. And again, really, the video piece is what they haven't had in the past. Mm-hmm. It'd be like a frame by frame, or it might be full motion for a minute or two, and all of a sudden, you've probably seen it at home, when you start getting those little squares, those little digital bytes start getting out of whack, and That's not good when you have something bad going on the ground.
No, that's exactly right. You want to see every pixel that you can. What are the agencies asking you for that you're maybe still in the process of developing or innovating, or that you anticipate to be maybe not the next generation, because video wave has been a pretty huge wave in and of itself. But what's, if we had this conversation a year from now, what would you be proud of having accomplished, you think, over the interim?
A couple of things. One, the federal government, and rightfully so, is pushing us forward. I guess I'd use the example of cloud computing as it relates to radio communications. Hey, do I really need to own all this and maintain all this infrastructure? Mm-hmm. Or is there a way for me to kind of buy the drink, if you will? Well, maybe Motorola, you manage and service this network. It saves the government money. It allows the latest software to always ride on the network, which is really good for the end user. So I think you're definitely going to see that change. We're working with some federal customers right now early in the process of taking a look. Hey, instead of buying that, let me let you kind of run it as a managed service, if you will, mm-hmm. and let me see if there's some economies of scale. Because in other agencies, whether it's Department of Interior, whoever it may be, could jump on that network that's available, that pipe's available. So certainly I think you'll see that being a significant change moving forward inside the federal government. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the COTS approach to providing service for the for a variety of different things. That's obviously getting a lot of traction when it comes to software, to being able to use commercial elements and customize them for the agencies. Is that possible in hardware too?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's in the past, whether we're talking Homeland Security or DOD, again, in the past, there were reasons, good reasons, for mission-centric devices. But now the technology has somewhat come together, and there's enough commercial technology. In a lot of cases, we can kind of customize that product and mission-centric that product without making a whole nother device, mm-hmm. which, whether it's a federal government or another customer, saves them a lot of money. Because anytime you have to start from scratch and build a one-off device, it's going to be more expensive than if you're leveraging the market that's already buying that device. We did something for the DOD a few years ago that allowed us to, quite frankly, leverage a device we were already selling into the Department of Defense, but there was some special things for the guys on the ground they needed that device to do. And instead of start from scratch, we really just added those features like GPS so they could track the soldier and things like that that we did for them. So things like that, I think, are going to continue to be prevalent in this space.
I imagine there are some cases, too, where the differences in needs are simple enough. It's a matter of opening the case and dropping a different chip in there or a different board, and you're ready to go. And that really can save an agency a ton of money. I can see that right off the top.
And that can be the secret sauce. If you can put it where it's actually, we call it flashing. When you can flash that software into the radio and deliver that content the customer wants, that's huge, because then you don't have any remolding of the plastics or anything back at the factory. You're really just flashing that capability. And that's, when I talk innovation, that's where our engineering, I think, will continue to excel, and that'll differentiate us and allow us to win more business moving forward.
And in hardware, that's where the bulk of the cost is, isn't it? Trying to engineer something or re-engineer something.
Right.
Jim Mears is my guest on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're talking about a variety of issues that Motorola deals with. He's the Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola. A reminder, in hour number two of the program today, you'll hear from Linda Springer, who is the former Director of the Office of Personnel Management. She's going to talk to me about what a new CFO Act of 2010, or at this point, CFO Act of 2011 would look like. We're certainly not going to get much new legislation in the lame duck session of Congress, but she'll talk about that with me in hour number two. And also during hour number two of the program, I'll tell you more about my predictions series starting on Monday on In Depth on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. More of my conversation with Jim Mears of Motorola when the program continues.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. A series of encouraging reports on the economy is keeping stocks in the green zone this afternoon. The Dow's up 52 points, the Nasdaq higher by 19. It looks like companies may be cutting fewer jobs. The Labor Department says applications for unemployment benefits dropped last week to the second lowest level of the year. They dipped 3,000 to 420,000, and the four-week average fell for the sixth straight week. But it's getting more expensive to take out a loan on your home. Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage rose to 4.83% from 4.61% in the previous week. Just last month, rates were at a 40-year low. Americans are buying more goods from overseas, and that pushed the trade deficit in July through September quarter to its highest point since late 2008. Once again, stocks are higher. The Dow's up 51 points. Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio.
Intuit Small Business presents Payroll in 30 seconds. Just type employee hours into Intuit Online Payroll. Wages and taxes are calculated automatically. A few more clicks to print paychecks or make a direct deposit, and we're done. In our remaining time, here's a flock of pigeons playing ragtime piano with their beaks. Try Intuit Online Payroll free for 30 days at Intuit.com. We do the legwork so you can do what you love. Intuit. Small business rejoice.
What is vanguarding? Vanguarding is the idea that investing success is measured in years, not days. It's the belief in doing what's right for clients, not Wall Street. It's understanding that where you invest is just as important as how much you invest. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy that investors have used to help reach their financial goals for decades. So are you just investing, or are you vanguarding? Learn more at Vanguard.com or at 888-VANGUARD. All investment.
Sentinel targeted illegal boiler
security
rooms.
Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
Small agencies need contracts to get fast response to cyber incidents. Here's Shockey Dobbs, Chief Information Security Officer at the International Trade Commission.
What you want to be able to do is say 3 o'clock in the morning, there's an incident. You want to be able to come in and have the staff to react. You want to be able to issue a task in accordance with the FAR that can provide that necessary contractor support in an immediate fashion to address some immediate issue.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top of mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Have you delayed putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355. Or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
Hi, I'm Denise Ballou of the FBI. The case was revealed in December 1995. Operation Senior Sentinel targeted illegal boiler rooms and telemarketing fraud.
The case was hugely significant in that it's one of the few, if not only, instances I can think of where an entire crime problem was basically wiped out by very focused, dramatic investigation.
Keith Slaughter is special agent in charge of FBI San Diego. Formerly in Miami, he initiated the undercover operation that evolved into Senior Sentinel.
These were telemarketers who were really, really bad individuals who were promising big prizes and a lot of different things, preying on customers, especially the elderly.
Many were conned into losing their life savings, but the tables were turned.
Instead of using undercover agents in those cases, we used a combination of retired agents and retired citizens affiliated with the AARP to pose as victims.
Ultimately, about 1,200 arrests and hundreds of convictions. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Jim Mears, Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola, on the Industry Chatter series each week at this time, the 1 o'clock hour on Thursdays. We talk about issues in federal government and contracting and such things as that. And when it comes to the contracting elements of the deals that you're doing with agencies, one of the things that, for example, Martha Johnson's talked about is collaboration with the agencies and knowing better what the agencies need and are interested in. It kind of, that concept, I think, ties into what we were talking about in the last segment about customizing hardware and software solutions that are coming off the shelf. Is that loosening up? Are agencies getting more comfortable with the idea that it's okay to talk to you before an RFP even comes out? That it's, there's not, they don't have to worry about some kind of issue as long as that process is very transparent, very open, and everybody gets the same information?
Yeah, I would say so. I think for the most part, they understand that the vendor community is going to compete for the business. So the deeper understanding that you have of the problems that you're trying to go solve. And let's just talk about our business for a minute. You know, wide area, wireless system for voice and data communications. The more I understand what I'm trying to solve for that border agent, or, you know, if it's a soldier in theater, whatever the opportunity may be, the more I understand about what I'm trying to get done, the better that network, that system, that solution is going to be for the end user moving forward. So I would say, now, obviously, once the RP's out, you know, your quiet period, mm-hmm, and sure, you know, a lot of hands-off stuff. But early on, yeah, I would say there's definitely more of a business-type approach in opening up so that they get their problem solved and they get what they're trying to buy and what they need.
Mm-hmm. Just as an outside observer, it seems that it's been more difficult for the agencies to get accustomed to that. It seems like they're used to this firewall that's been in place for so long. And both Martha Johnson and Dan Gordon at OFPP are talking about, no, you really have to interact with the vendors and you really have to let them know what you need so that we don't have requirements problems once the RFP's, you know, once the contract's been awarded or whatever. And so we can try to avoid a bunch of these project management problems that the agencies have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the better understanding you have, and it's really, again, more of a business type approach. And that's when you deliver the right value, I think, whether it's the federal government and enterprise customers. I think that move is definitely in the right direction. The right content is going to be there. And even if you're talking about innovation to a commercial device, you need to have a deep understanding of not only what does the government want that product to do today, mm-hmm, but if it's a radio that's also going to be a data device or it's going to be coupled with a Wi-Fi hotspot, what's a customer trying to do with that device moving forward? And you kind of build that into the product roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. Another example, we did a project with the United States Postal Service about 5 years ago. And quite frankly, they did a phenomenal job of tying in the things that they wanted to see in the roadmap of that product. And that product has become a significant tool in how they get business done today. It had a very good return on investment, ROI, tied to it. So things like that where you can put together a good value proposition that allows the customer to see whether it's saving lives or it's a true economic tool where you're replacing paper and pencil because of mobile computing and you're creating efficiency in the system where you can actually show raw dollars being saved. That's a business type approach that I think you'll continue to, and I think the president's kind of pushed that agenda too.
Yeah, and we saw that with the 25-point plan that Vivek put out last week.
Exactly.
You are bullish on that 25-point plan?
I am.
You think?
Yes,
yeah,
I am. I think that plays well for companies that are going to be proactive and are trying to deliver the right content at the right time and just not trying to maximize their contract value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got a really good history and track record at finishing on budget and on time for projects we're involved in, whether we prime or we work with the large system integrators on others, that I think in around about way, Motorola's got an excellent reputation of always being there. And not to say from time to time we don't have problems, but we're always there to solve them.
Mm-hmm. What is, are you doing most of your work prime or sub, or how is that breaking down? Do you know offhand?
Yeah, it's blended. I would probably say it's about half and half. Certainly the large system integrators bring a lot of value in bringing kind of best of breed to mm-hmm. big solutions for the federal government. And so we try to make sure that we find our right niche plays inside these big solutions, and then we go compete as the selected sub, if you will, on a broader solution. But if it's a pure voice, wireless voice system or wireless voice and data system is something we can prime and the customer wants to go that way, we'll certainly prime it.
One of the things that people have talked about, vendors and agency people alike, is that it's hard for the agencies to keep up with advances in technology to even understand maybe what's possible, what a company like yours is capable of doing for them when they have a particular need. And some agencies are still stuck in the old way of doing things where they say, this is what we want, instead of this is our problem and we want to ask for a solution to it. Help me with the technology geek issue that I have. Tell me about something really, really cool that your company can do for customers in the federal space that maybe they don't know that is even possible, let alone that your company can deliver it.
One of the things, and we talked a little bit about it earlier, one of the things we're working on right now is to deliver, and this is important in theater, you know, is to deliver wireless broadband capability to a troop on the move, mm-hmm. Whether that's to a Humvee, and we're working with devices. In fact, we have a couple in our office in our lab. We're working to do that now, where you could even plug in voice over IP inside a Humvee, inside this little microserve, if you will, that also delivers Wi-Fi capability. The other innovation, while maybe not as sexy as a Nick smartphone, in the past, a radio typically worked within one band. Now the big advent of multi-band handheld radios is huge because somebody, whether it be DOD or somebody in federal law enforcement or a civilian agency, in the event of a disaster, let's say in the state of Mississippi, now they can talk with these devices to that legacy public safety, maybe statewide system, or that system that municipality had that may be UHF and the government's radio is VHF. Now we can kind of go across that whole span, which is huge because now you can network those systems together. It's not perfect yet, but mm-hmm. it's a long way from where we were about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And to us, that's a big innovation, a multiband radio. That's really has just hit this space here in the last 12 to 18 months.
It's really something to look at that kind of stuff, because I go back far enough to the days when worked in a store that people came into all the time to buy crystals for their scanners so that they could listen to any one, whatever one frequency they wanted to pull in at any given time.
And then anytime you wanted to change frequencies, you and I are dating ourselves now, it's about $250 to just change that one frequency in a radio.
Unbelievable.
And
unbelievable.
You can have a couple hundred channels in there and you just flash them in there off your desktop.
That's really something. Jim Mears is the Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We won't date ourselves when we continue the conversation. We'll stick with today's technology when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Central, dedicated to sharing insights and best practices on topics ranging from cybersecurity to sustainability to healthcare reform. Hear straight talk from government leaders and industry specialists on the issues that are shaping how agencies serve their mission and their constituents. Hosted by veteran broadcaster Jane Norris, don't miss Fed Central on the third and fourth Wednesday of the month at 1 p.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Sponsored by Deloitte.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me, 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive, but I have great taste. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water, and that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
Congratulations.
congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C. Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
Newsmakers on the Dora Beck Insider.
Prashant Garg, the president of the American Council for Technology, the Obama administration's proposal to improve the management of government information technology.
We have the OMB and OFFP working together on this, and we will be communicating with them. I have not seen as much communication as I'm seeing right now in terms of literally emails saying, what do you think of this, and should we go this way? And that's great.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/DoraBeckInsider.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Jim Mears. He's Vice President of Federal Markets at Motorola, and we're talking about innovation in communications, and especially relative. You do a lot of work with first responders, Jim, not just in federal government, but at all levels of government. What are some of the things that first responders technologically are asking you to be able to do that they are maybe now just becoming aware of the possibilities?
Yeah, the CIO community inside the federal space is driving us, and quite frankly, we're listening and we're driving the innovation, is, hey, there's this big public network architecture out there, the carriers, if you will, and most of my agents carry a device that operates on one of those carrier networks. Most of my agents all have a private device. What can I do to better leverage investment I'm making in my private infrastructure while at the same time maybe using that public infrastructure that's out there in a more productive manner? Mm-hmm. So what we're doing and what we're working on now in our approach to this is developing a technology that allows that user in his public device to be tethered. You're probably familiar with Bluetooth technology.
Sure.
It's just a
you
know, kind of a personal area network.
Yep.
Allow that public device to be tethered to that private device so those two can kind of work off each other's network if they need to. And really, the CIO community has grabbed hold of this. It should reduce their total cost of ownership. They'll be able to leverage public networks. In the future, it'll be LTE. You've seen some of the waivers to places like San Francisco, LA, state of Mississippi, state of New Jersey out of that public safety spectrum trust. Mm-hmm. They've started grant waivers to build those networks out. That capability will really allow these data intensive applications that they want to mobilize their workforce with. In the past, it's been mostly voice, but now it's all about pushing that information from the desktop out to that mobile work in the federal government. So being able to leverage the public network and the private network to maximize coverage and throughput's important. And that's an exciting space for us right now as we move forward.
So essentially what you're talking about is you produce a device for a first responder network to use that's proprietary to that operation, but through Bluetooth technology, I can link up my cell phone if I'm on whatever network I'm on. And in the event that I'm out of coverage area on my proprietary device, I'll be able to use my standard operating, standard issue cell phone to be able to communicate with the other people on the network. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just one quick note. If I said proprietary, I really meant private device.
Okay.
The word proprietary.
No, you didn't. I used that word.
Yeah, because the government's worked hard at not having proprietary devices, and that's where they can now vet products from different vendors. So, yeah, but the private device and the public device will be Bluetooth together.
Okay. The technology that's available now, everybody knows it's much better than all that jazz. What has that done for the cost dynamic? There are some folks who look at the overall cost and say we're spending more than we ever have before. So some of the advantages that we thought we were going to get cost-wise haven't really materialized.
Yeah. I mean, certainly when you take legacy infrastructure and legacy subscribers that maybe went on for too long, there's a pretty substantial investment to buy that new infrastructure and buy that new architecture. But the multiband subscribers in the past, you would have had to buy two radios.
Mm-hmm.
So now to have that multiband capability in one device, I think that has certainly reduced the total cost of ownership. And the fact that a lot of the features can now be flashed into the device as we continue to develop our roadmap. And what we're very careful to do is make sure as we come out with these enhancements that they'll still work on the legacy systems if, in fact, the customer hasn't had the funding to drive that network trade out. So Motorola, we've done a tremendous job over the last 20 years of trying to make sure those devices, as best we can also work on legacy network.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Jim Mears on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And one of the things we talked about earlier that your company is involved in that maybe a lot of people don't think of is health IT solutions. Every agency that I talk to is involved with at some level or another. Even agencies you wouldn't think have anything to do with health IT are there. It's not just VA and Health and Human Services and the Pentagon anymore. Talk about that space and what some of the things are that you're doing there, because there are so many layers. That's a big onion with lots of layers to peel away.
Yeah, and I really think the driving reason for a lot of that and why so many industries and businesses are focused on healthcare, the root is really the whole evolution towards electronic medical records, which is kind of new here in this mm-hmm. country, right? And we're kind of right at the beginning of that. So that drives a whole lot of technology on things that you need to now start capturing and building yours, Francis, or mine, our electronic records. So whether that be a prescription, whether that be an event that occurs, that stuff will now, that record will be able to be accessed either in the facility where you're being treated or even remotely. So that's very important. And our mobile computing devices will allow us either to capture pertinent data relevant to the patient, whether that be his prescription, the time an event needs to occur, the amount or the dosage that needs to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to feel a lot better about the fact that that will be captured electronically and will be pre-programmed in something as opposed to pen and paper. Oh my gosh, I left the clipboard in the wrong room. The next attendee comes in or next attendant comes in and sees that.
Yeah.
And those types of things go on, whether mm-hmm. it be in hospitals, in the federal government or private hospitals.
Yeah.
So that whole automation, I think it's going to drive patient safety, going to drive better information for patient care. A lot of people chasing that space, and there'll be a lot of innovation in and around the healthcare.
Why is this so difficult, though, to get everybody on board on this? When we look at, if I look at the financial system as a kind of a model for this, there are a whole lot of private institutions that are successfully electronically linked. And if I want to send you money, even whether you're in Colombia at your office or whether you're in another country somewhere around the world, and whether I know you or not, I can do that, and I can give access. Sometimes I don't want to give access, but people do it anyway, to people, and they can access financial records and personal information like that. Why is it so much, seem to be at least, so much harder in the health IT space?
I think it's just where we are in the timeline. I just think we're starting to build that now. You know, if you go back 20 years ago, how well connected were some of the examples and good examples that you just gave? So I think it's just we're at a different place in the timeline. The technology is certainly there.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a funding side of it. You know, which back office software application am I going to buy? There are, you know, a number of industry leaders out there right now. So there's a lot at play, and the CIOs are, you know, they're taking their time to make the right to try to make the best decision on the platform and then the technology that's going to leverage that. And then the next piece is to push that out wirelessly so I don't have to run back to a central desk and type all this in, that I can be much more effective and efficient making my rounds, doing my work where I can do this wirelessly. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if the complexity is more complex than anything else we've seen. It's just the time it takes to make the decisions, get the funding, and then start the implementation of some of the projects that need to be vetted through the process.
Are there sufficient standards in place for electronic health records, and are they the right standards?
I think they are. As far as the applications being able to talk to each other,
mm-hmm.
I think the standards are there. Certainly, and we sell software. You always want to try to have some value-added pieces inside your software to
sure.
separate yourself and offer more to your customer. So I'm sure they're competing in the back office space, much like the SAPs and the Oracles do today in the enterprise space.
Mm-hmm. Jim Mears is Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be back to wrap up in just a moment on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, I'm Denise Ballou of the FBI. The case was revealed in December 1995. Operation Senior Sentinel targeted illegal boiler rooms and telemarketing fraud.
The case was hugely significant.
in that it's one of the few, if not only, instances I can think of where an entire crime problem was basically wiped out by very focused, dramatic investigation.
Keith Slaughter is special agent in charge of FBI San Diego. Formerly in Miami, he initiated the undercover operation that evolved into Senior Sentinel.
These were telemarketers who were really, really bad individuals who were promising big prizes and a lot of different things, preying on customers, especially the elderly.
Many were conned into losing their life savings, but the tables were turned.
Instead of using undercover agents in those cases, we used a combination of retired agents and retired citizens affiliated with the AARP to pose as victims.
Ultimately, about 1,200 arrests and hundreds of convictions. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Ugh, would you look at this bill?
Tired of paying way too much to your alarm company and not getting real security service? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has more than 40 years of industry-leading experience and was recently named Dealer of the Year out of over 30,000 companies. Ackerman has its own UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Put simply, with Ackerman Security Systems, you get the most qualified professionals in the industry monitoring your home for just $18.95 a month. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. So whether you want a new system or want to switch to reliable monitoring for just $18.95 a month, call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com. Federal employees, call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything. Boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to them about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today is Jim Mears, Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola. And we've talked a lot about innovation. We've talked a lot about providing new solutions for new challenges. But agencies, there are a lot of agencies who in many areas feel like they're doing the same thing they've been doing for a long time. Missions don't always change so much as the technology changes to serve the mission. We've talked a little bit about legacy systems. There are some agencies that are still dealing with legacy systems because they work just fine. And I imagine that's a space where you're working with customers too. It's not always necessary for them to have the latest, greatest, fanciest, shiniest new toy, is it?
No, it's not. And we've got a worldwide service organization and a large one right in Atlanta, Maryland. And we service very old product from around the world that comes in, and mm-hmm. we keep it band-aid and stitched together as best we can because, hey, funding is always an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our team does a tremendous job of that, whether it's here or our operation over in Europe. But, you know, the other piece, we talk a little bit about some of the things that have changed. You're not always just replacing a system for another like system.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big improvement the government's made is when they have replaced networks and subscribers, they've gone to much more secure communications so that whether it's a border agent, then you don't want the bad guy hearing what's going on. Their interdiction rate's gone up tremendously since they made the investment in secure communications. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge improvement for them. Likewise, as we talked a little bit earlier, the DoD, hey, maybe it's not really solving a different problem, but you know what? Instead of spending X, I'm spending X minus 50% because technology's moved along. I can leverage something that maybe you're making for UPS or for Department of Justice, and I can mission-centric it without having you guys reinvent another device.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. I mean, that to me, that helps the taxpayer out there. It's kind of in line with the president saying, hey, let's take more of a business, pragmatic approach to what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Let's understand the mission and the problem we're trying to attack and solve, and let's go get the technology that does it. And you're seeing the government do that. And the CIO community here, very intelligent group of people, very intelligent, and they're driving innovation.
This is a terrible question for me to ask you when we only have about a minute left, but agencies are finally coming to you, aren't they, and asking about the security being baked into these devices from the beginning instead of patching them on at the end, right?
Absolutely, and they're driving security that will also benefit state and locals. Federal government is certainly leading that effort. Before we ever roll the network out, they come to our staging facility, they do what they call a pen test, and they try to break into that system and hack into it.
Mm-hmm.
And we find holes. We've got to go attack those for the customer before they accept anything. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so much to cover and not enough time to do it, so I'd love to have you come back Q1 next year, and we'll see what's going on
Great. With
you at that point and talk more, because that's the only place we went in security in this whole conversation.
Yeah, I'd love that chance.
And I'd like to continue that. Jim Mears is Vice President of Federal Markets for Motorola, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose, and in hour number two of the program, Linda Springer, the former OPM director, will be my guest to talk about a CFO Act of 2010. What will that look like? And some other things on her mind, and we'll talk to her in just a few minutes on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Also a reminder that tomorrow the snow will not stop the Federal News Countdown, the three most important federal news stories of the week, as chosen by John Palguda of the Partnership for Public Service and David Olive of Catalyst Partners DC. That's 2:00 tomorrow on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.